I think mine was tangled when I met her. Have you ever felt that whirlwind in your heart when those dreaded feelings arrive? People call it love at first sight. Others call it butterflies in their stomachs. I never ate any butterflies. All it gave me was a wave of confusion. Who is this? And why do I need them in my life all of a sudden? Isn't it confusing? You spend the first 23 years of your life thinking the world is so bright, so happy. And next thing you know, you discover the world was incomplete without her by your side. Or him. Or both, if you prefer. Yet the feelings indeed arrived. They appeared as fast as my sideways glance to see her a few meters away from me. Both our hands clapped twice in front of the shrine. My wish that I held for so long had already been granted. I never knew the gods could be so fast in their delivery. But hey, now's my chance. Episode 22, Red Strings. Welcome to the Tempered Fables. My name is N.T. Clover. Come, sit by the fire. Let me tell you a story. Do you know about the red strings of love? It's like one of those superstitious things. Apparently, destiny connects you to your fateful other half through a red string of fate. This string should never be broken, and this string should never be cut. To cut it is to lose part of your life. It's why here, in this country, you shouldn't gift other people cutting objects. Scissors, knives, katana swords. The locals believe that to be a bad omen. By doing so, you hold the intent to cut off one's red strings. That's funny, I never knew that I had one. Auntie would tell me about these things during family weddings. Make sure you don't bring them any sharp objects, she would say. She'd cackle and tip her head back and forth, but she means it. She should know. She's from here. I was too young to understand why back then. She still teaches me things, so she's cool in my book. But anyway, back to my butterflies at first sight. Or love in my stomach, whatever it was. We were at a temple in Kyoto, Japan, in front of the large shrine next to the waterfall. It was calm, a nice warm sound, compared to the bustling of tourists and clicking of cameras. I was on my own, first ever trip without family, and I wanted to commemorate by going to somewhere beautiful, meaningful. Initially, it was a year's trip around the USA, but 1, I have no money. 2, the US is really far away. 3, my family was highly against me going there at the time. Don't go somewhere too far, my auntie again would say. She means well. She does. I settled for Kyoto. It's still Asia, that's fine, and Kyoto itself has that blend of traditional and cultural goodness that a lone tourist would want to discover. Minus the tourist traps and the overcrowded hotspots, it's fun to walk around Kyoto. This is during the full bloom for sakura, the cherry blossoms, and walking around the city full of pink flowing leaves really warms your heart. An old capital, with buildings that stood through 1,000 years of history, pink in the spring and orange in the autumn. Sign me up, that sounds beautiful. It is, it really is. I'm still blessed with such sights in my head. And so is my camera. Nothing beats having memories of being there. Do you ever notice that? People like to take pictures of things that evoke feelings in them. They want to commemorate that feeling of excitement, discovery, or what have you, and appreciate it by taking a picture of them. Others do it a bit differently. Writing, making a video, but the best part is just being there. Living in the moment. That's cool. They react to their surroundings by creating something. It's different from recording it. But hey, we all express our appreciation differently. The world works on appreciating things around us. Things, people, everything, and everyone. I learned how to appreciate the lady over there who happened to be praying at the same time as me. She had smoky makeup on and wavy chin-length hair, tinted a tinge of slightly brown. She wore a light tan trench coat over a blue and white summer dress. It was a flower pattern, kind of like one of those feudal lords' insignias, the ones I see in the games I play. Maybe I recognize it if I look closer, but that would be stalking, wouldn't it? A bit too late, though. We're already talking details here. Whoever's watching me struggle with my own thoughts, please don't arrest me. I peeked again for my prayer. I noticed the sunlight diffusing through her white sunbrella. She was holding it under her right arm while praying. She was a walking photo shoot. You'd never think that a stranger praying would look so picturesque, but wow. The strings were pulling again. I'm delaying this, aren't I? I shouldn't be having this super long monologue. I should go up to her and say hi. Simple, right? No, not simple. Isn't it awkward or weird going up to strangers at a holy place like this for a chat? But the bells are ringing, aren't they? Those red strings? It's like I can hear them now. Normally, I don't believe them, but if Auntie says they exist and I'm hallucinating about them, it has to be something, at least. Maybe it's just a feeling or instinct. Okay. Whew. Let's do this. Nope. Wait. What the hell am I doing? She's still praying, you idiot. Don't interrupt her when she's praying. What if she's wishing for something important? Eternal happiness, $1 billion, the perfect boyfriend. It's the kind of things a beautiful girl like her would wish for. I think. Maybe. I could ask, but nah. Either way, none of the above I can provide, but I could try. Okay, now she stopped. Alright, let's do this. Hi there, how are you? Great weather, isn't it? Is what I should start off with, right? Oh, okay, wait. Let's work on that first. Oh, I'm so lame. I had 2 chances to walk up to her and say hi, and I can't even think about doing that. I should have wished for more confidence, or another chance. Oh, Kyoto gods, help me. Excuse me? There was a tap behind my back. Oh, sorry, was I blocking your picture? What? Wait, I'll just... It was her. Her head was tilted slightly. I could see way more details on her face now. Tiny freckles here and there. Full, kissable lips. And her eyes. Her eyes were staring directly at me. Angled, deep. They looked much bigger up this close. Hazel. They were hazel in the sunlight. Hazel. I'm sorry. No, nothing. Hi. What's going on? I tried to lean on something, but there was nothing around me. That was me trying to play it cool. You have no clue of the millions of thoughts that raced through my mind. Did she see me looking at her? Does she think it's weird? Is she gonna report me? Am I gonna be deported? Oh no, my first solo trip and I'm already getting kicked out? She still had that cute look. Cute, but puzzled. My heart jumped. You look like you're in trouble, she said. Is something wrong? what do you mean? You were pacing back and forth in front of the shrine. I thought you were in trouble. My heart can't take this. A stranger, a beautiful stranger, worried about poor old me. She doesn't even know who I am. Or maybe that's why. She doesn't know who I am, so she's trying to solve the problem. Figure out if I'm crazy, report me if true. Very smart, could be possible. I could be a threat, you never know. No, 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 there's nothing wrong. I was just... the shrine, you know, the wishes and stuff. She had no response. I take it she wasn't satisfied with my rambling. The conversation slowly died down. Do you know the story of the red strings? I wasn't even thinking, I just blurted it out. Her eyes widened, her lip curled, and I could see a little smirk on her face. I've heard of it before. Mother told me when I was young. What about it? I just, what the hell am I saying? I saw you praying, and I made my wish, and I saw and heard a red string between us, so I thought, why not say hi? I had dropped eye contact by this time, looking down at my feet. A few of the longest seconds of my life later, I looked up to see her laughing, lightly covering her mouth. It was sincere, not out of insult. I have my auntie to thank for being able to witness such a cute laugh. And what does the string sound like? The smile was sincere as well. Like, light bells, similar to the wind chimes you'd hang outside your house. She giggled. She covered her mouth. I see. And what are you going to do now? Do you have time for a cup of coffee? What was meant to be admiration from really far away turned into hours and hours of talking. I felt so alive. Every word was fantastic. Every sentence was amazing. Every reply was made with some thought, and every laugh was genuine. So, so alive. You can't take a picture of this conversation. You can try to record it, but you weren't there. Being there was the difference. Being in a moment made me feel like I was reborn. I want to have this feeling all the time. The conversation slowed after a great round of laughter, and near the end of the day, we were getting a bit exhausted from such high energy. Hey, really random to ask this, but I took out my handheld camera. Could we maybe take a picture? She finished my sentence. Sure, she nodded. The butterflies started fluttering inside me, raging more like. They're not butterflies anymore, more like a herd of buffaloes trying to stampede out of my chest. But I kept calm. I'm here right now. I made a memory. We looked at the picture together, and both of our smiles were for each other. It's great. She sipped her green tea. You know, she started. I've always thought those strings never existed. Things never worked out for me. I sipped my coffee cup. I let her continue. You know what? It's not true. They do exist. It's just that my strings are tangled. Slowly, she reached out for my hand. It's why I came to the shrine today. I wished to see my red string untangle. I smiled. I opened my hand up and grasped hers. Her palm and every finger, her eyes and her sweet voice. I took it all in. We walked out, holding hands, leaving the shrine area. Dusk was settling, and the night lights, though dim, started to illuminate the nature around us. Pink turned to the color of orange sunset, to the gradual red lights. We walked in silence, enjoying our time with each other. All of a sudden, she giggled to herself, covering her mouth again. What's so funny? Is it that we're holding hands all of a sudden? No, no, that's not it. I just had a strange thought. She paused. What did you wish for again? Well, in the beginning, it was freedom to travel anywhere on my own. But I saw you and priorities changed. She looked away when I said that. I could somehow make out a smile from the side of her face. Isn't it nice, though? What is? The sound. Of the shrine? You know it's a giant bell, right? Or you mean the waterfall? No, not that, silly. I mean, the sound. We stopped. When I saw you praying next to me, I heard it too. The sound of the red string. The sound of us together. What a coincidence, isn't it? We smiled at each other and carried on walking into the Kyoto spring night. And that is the end of the tale. Until next time, friend, I'll be waiting by the fire. Hello there, Norman here, and thank you for listening to this episode. So, red strings. Where did I get the inspiration from? The very first thing that came to my mind was the notion of having your significant other be tied to you by a red string, which is a common superstitious thing in Japan. I remember reading about it when I was studying there in Tokyo, so it came up randomly when I was writing a romantic story in this regard. Oh, for this episode. The next was the inori, the prayer, where you would pray clapping your hands twice, and you say a prayer for yourself in front of the shrine. I thought that it sounds a bit cheesy, but having a little romantic elements in front of a shrine would be quite fascinating to explore. So there was that. It is true, though, that it is a bad omen to gift people sharp objects like swords and all that, at least in Japan. And I think it's to do with the red string thing, but it could also be just bad luck or severing ties with your friendship or relationship, and that all kinds of, or that or any other kind of a reason that might come up. But essentially, sharp objects, bad as a present. And I also thought about Kyoto because it's been a while since I've been there. I haven't been there since 2012, I believe, or start of 2013. Yeah, start of 2013. It's been a while, but I remember the temples being very nice and interesting and beautiful. So I wanted to capture that. I mean, I can try to emulate it by talking about a different city, but, you know, Kyoto is a famous place. So I guess it'll help with you, my friend, to listen and imagine. I've always thought about this belief that the red strings of love or of fate to connect you with your significant other to be very poetic, and to know that there is some sort of, you know, symbolic object that represents your connection with somebody is beautiful when you're talking about it or describing it. So I thought about using that in the story. It's fascinating, really, how different cultures can manifest different beliefs or different stories to describe one's love for another. Maybe it's through string in Japan, maybe it's through the moon in a different country, or maybe it's from the length of someone's poetry or something like that, I'm not sure. But to have something as interesting as this, that it's red and it's a string, and you're tied to the other person no matter where they are, and that string will never break unless you're gifted a sword by somebody. Just the mere pondering of it made me quite fascinated with it. It's really nothing else more than that. So, yeah. If you're wondering, this hasn't happened to me. This is not a real story. I don't think things fall into place so perfectly that something like this could ever happen. But if you know someone who does, let me know. I want my mind to be blown that you just happen to be in Japan and you just happen to pray for something related to romance, and your partner is there, a stranger, praying next to you at the same time. Like, wow, isn't it amazing? Like, if that actually happened, wow, I would clap for you. That would be cool. But yeah, until then, we can imagine. That's how stories work. We smile on our imagination. That's all for now. Take care, and I will see you in the next episode. Norman out.
If you'd like to keep up to date on the latest information, do check out temperedfables.com. Alternatively, you can also check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Episodes are released every Monday and Friday. This podcast is hosted, created, and narrated by Norman T. Chella. During the day, he's a freelance writer and speaker. And during the night, he makes stories. He also does voice acting for commercials, audiobooks, and other real-world things. For more information, do check out normanchella.com. Sound effects are obtained from zapsplat.com. Hey there, just letting you know that some songs are used under the Creative Commons license and are obtained from Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com.
Ripples, March of the Spoons,
Simple Duet, and that's it. Check it out at incompetech.com. Thanks, Kevin.